Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Sue Elliott, my pronouns are she, her, and my archetype in this game is Sidekick.
Hello, my name is Becky Anderson, my pronouns are she, her, and my archetype in this game is Artist.
Hello, my name's James Torrance, and my pronouns are he, him, and today I will be playing a variety of Zealots.
Hello, I'm Josh Fox. My pronouns are he, him, and I am playing the Tech.
Hi, folks. I'm Nick Bate. My pronouns are he, him.
And today I am going to be a hack.
Today we are playing Rise and Fall by Elizabeth Lovegrove. Okay. Does anyone have a question?
Do we each do one question in this in the Rise phase?
Yeah, in every phase we each have one question. I've got one in mind, if people are interested. Well, you have to be, okay. So
yep.
Deal with it. So, I'm interested in finding out more about this ubiquitous surveillance that we've got written down there. So, my question is, why was mass surveillance deemed necessary? And I feel like that is crying out for a hack, and a hack and a tech, actually. I think a nice little intimate two-person scene would be lovely.
You promised that you're going to be very serious in your next scene, Nick.
I did promise, yeah, which it's going to be hard.
So I'm going to play a robot clown. Just to fuck with you. Not really.
Okay, so if we've got a hack and a tech, I mean, it sort of sounds a little bit like we're the doers rather than the deciders. And that maybe makes it hard to answer the question.
I don't know that it does, in the sense that you could be discussing the orders you've been given and why you've been told to do this.
Yeah.
And speculating and all of that good stuff.
You could also look at it from a different tier in society, so maybe there could be, you know, someone could be installing something in someone's living quarters and you could be seeing the fallout of that. Or
so one of the things I'm getting potentially unusually hung up on is I feel like if you've got ubiquitous surveillance and there's a hack in the scene, I'm trying to break it or break into it or misuse it in some way.
It could be that you are the resistance, part of the resistance that the surveillance is designed to counter.
Hmm. What are you thinking, Josh? You've been...
Well, my trouble is I've got a fairly clear idea of what I think the answer to the question is. Now I'm not sure what the vehicle is for answering it. That's a harder one to go for. Yeah, I'm quite attracted to the idea of, like, playing out the reason why someone would want to surveil, like being the problem to which surveillance is the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one route we could go.
Yep. So if we're the problem, do you have a, without answering the question, do you have a location in mind?
Well, so the problem basically the skateboarders, the kids on their skateboards, and if so, like, I don't know, like some sort of tunnel or like interesting,
yeah,
rundown, derelict place.
To be clear, they are hoverboards. It is the future.
Yeah, but like you still got to, you know, run your board along something, right? They don't fly. They just hover.
Oh, no, they just hover, yeah.
Okay. So it's a tunnel or like a broad, wide tunnel that the youth have turned into a skate park. A hover skate park?
Yeah, maybe it's like a transit station that's no longer functioning. And maybe it even has sort of fallen off the records.
Cool. What if one side of this transit station is one of these viewing ports that shows space?
Oh, yeah.
You know, cool. So if you're in the station, standing on the platform, I guess, waiting for the train to arrive, you're looking out on a starfield.
Okay. So I have an idea for how to do this. I was thinking I might be Threader again, actually. And I was thinking Threader might have come to talk to someone who he thinks is like a leader of the youth.
Cool. All right, so I'm going to need a name. That's a neat trick you've pulled there, where you just play the same character, and so don't need to think up a new name.
Haha.
I think I'm going to be called Paris. And so I'm one of the youth, I'm one of the kids. I think my... Do you say I hover, like you would say I skate?
I mag.
Glide?
Slide, yeah. Slide's pretty cool. All right, let's go with that. So I definitely slide because everyone slides. But my thing here is that I film it and pirate broadcasts, basically. The kind of stunts and the, you know...
Are you a fucking YouTuber? Is that what you are?
Yeah, but not a shit one. I'm just thinking of the I don't know, do I admit on the... I used to skate, and there was always someone who had a shitty video camera that they were using to film the sick tricks pre-YouTube. That is who I'm thinking of. So I guess the authority that I have, such as it is amongst this crowd, is that I do the filming and I do the editing. So I'm the one who's going to make you look rad or not.
Okay, cool. So I reckon as the scene opens, like, one of us should be waiting for the other one.
The scene's kind of on my turf, I reckon. So I think I'm probably just here, you know, perched somewhere up high to get an angle on a... Yeah, I think I'm here in the station, perched up on a ledge, so that I can get angles on the, you know, the rails where the kids are sliding.
Okay, I reckon Threader shows up in like a hooded cloak, which is his idea of how to conceal himself from observation. Which, to be fair, will have concealed his face. And
am I expecting you?
I don't know. What do you reckon? I think so. Otherwise, like, I don't see how I could arrange to meet you in a way that's going to work for this conversation. Otherwise,
yeah. Let's. Yeah.
Maybe we see you doing some cool stunt or something as Threader comes out of the stairs that lead onto the platform, and he just watches you for a moment before approaching. Takes back his hood. You can see his gaunt features and various sort of sockets and things in his head.
And I reckon a sort of small crowd of kids sort of gathers around you in a maybe slightly menacing semicircle. And Paris kind of pushes through that little crowd and says, all right, just... Fuck off. We got business here. Do some whatever. And he hands his camera to someone else and then steps closer to Threader and says, you want to talk?
Yes. But not with other ears present. This is sensitive.
So Paris kind of looks back at the kids who are all clearly... I mean, they're sliding, but they're all clearly watching and listening. And... nods and points to a like a ticket booth. It used to be a ticket booth, so it's off the side. There's a door. Everyone will still be able to see us, but it'll block out the sound.
Yes, Threader will follow your lead and go into the ticket booth, where they're, I guess they're like weirdly close to each other in this kind of dark place.
Hey man, we don't see your lot down here. Like, you rat on us, we rat on you, right?
Yes, I understand. I'm not here on official business.
Just so we're clear.
I'm here with a warning for you.
Whatever it is, we can take it.
I don't think so. The authorities have grown tired of your behaviour, and they mean to do something about it.
Okay, man. We're just sliding here. I mean, some people want to watch that kind of stuff, right? Nothing wrong with that.
There is no point in dissembling to me.
In what?
Lying. I have full access to all of the ship's data. I see all. I know all. I know what you and your crew have been up to within the limits of the data available to me. I've been able to make some deductions. certain patterns, crime.
Hey, man, there's no law against sliding, and if there is, I'm not doing it where anyone else is going to get hurt. I mean, look at this place. There's no one down here.
You're not fooling me, Mr. Paris. But that is not necessary for us to talk about now. I'm here with a warning. The authorities are coming for you, and they will break up this group, and I believe some quite extreme measures will be taken against you.
Why are you telling me this, man? You're one of them. Why?
I am not exactly one of them, and I'm certainly not one of you.
Well, that's fucking obvious.
He smiles thinly at you. I'm concerned about the direction that this is headed. I myself am being manipulated in a way that I do not like. I'm uncertain of precisely what's going on. Certain information has disappeared from my data banks. I am unable to talk of certain things. It is very frustrating.
I mean, I got an audience.
No, I do not wish to take that role. I've approached you because I think that you are able to communicate with that audience and to get a message out.
All right, then.
I believe that unless you deprive the authorities of information, they will be able to find you. They will be able to hurt you. They have people like me who are able to take data and make predictions. Predictions about you.
What are you saying? Deprive them of information? Deprive them of...
If you hide yourself from public places, you can make it impossible for them to predict your movements.
I mean, this isn't really a public place anymore, but are you talking about, like, seriously cut ourselves off? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is what I'm saying. The weapon that they choose to deploy against you, it thrives on information. It will struggle if it is rendered blind. They have a great expert from the past who will be used against you.
But only if he can see us.
Exactly.
Shit, man, we're not just going to vanish, though. You know that, right? Like, I'm not going to disappear into the ducts with these guys and just you never see us again. Like, what's the fucking point?
I will try to help you if you will let me. We can find ways to communicate with each other, and perhaps I can share some of the information that they have. But yes, you cannot simply hide. You will need to take action of your own volition.
All right, I can't say I entirely understand what you're talking about, dude, but I mean, they never liked us, and they keep pushing us and pushing us and pushing us. It doesn't seem unlikely to me that takes the next big step. So fair enough.
Threader puts a bony hand on your shoulder and says, you may not understand it now, but you will do in the days and weeks to come. I have projected what will happen following the activities of Dr. Isaac, a man you will soon come to know very well, of the authorities and of yourselves. And I think I know what is coming. You will see, and then you will believe. And I believe that you will act on what I've said, and that it can change the course of history.
Well, shit, man. I mean, change the course of history sounds pretty fucking good to me. And I think Paris walks out of the, just turns around and walks out of the polling station and shouts, all right, everyone, gather around. Come on. And starts to talk to his people.
And we'll call that scene, I think.
Cool.
Really nice.
Works for me.
Our most serious scene.
Sweet.
Love it.
Yay, we weren't silly at all.
It was really good. I really liked sort of planting that little seed of things to come. Really nice.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Mm.
Please let these be the kids who space Dr. Isaac.
Yeah, it does put a slightly different spin on children spacing the doctor, doesn't it?
They just shove him on a hoverboard and then push.
I was just saying, I messaged James, or messaged him on the chat when you guys were talking, but I think they should be magboards, not hoverboards. Surely.
What's the difference?
Well, because you're in a spaceship made of metal.
Yeah.
If everything's made of metal, then magnetic boards to get around would make a lot of sense.
Would hover?
Well, they would if they were, if you... Fucking hell, Josh, if you reverse the polarity of the neutron flow, of course they'll hover. Don't you know anything? Well,
that's what I mean. So they would be hoverboards.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be hoverboards like... Like, you can have... Hoverboards exist now, don't they?
Oh, I see. You're thinking of the... They're not real hoverboards.
I was thinking a genuine thing that hovers.
Yeah, I was thinking Marty McFly.
Form of magnetism. Look, when I did A-level physics, there was a lot of talk about paramagnetism and several other kinds of magnetism that I've now completely forgotten that Nick...
Animal magnetism.
Animal magnetism. There you are. and, you know, I had no understanding of those at the time or now. Notoriously, the insane clown posse said, magnets, how the fuck do they work? And I've always thought that I would respond to that by saying, well, you see, what happens with a magnet is it's got magnetic dipoles and they project a magnetic field. And the insane clown posse would reply to me, you're just saying the word magnet repeatedly. That's not explanation. You may be right. I don't understand magnets at all. So, from that, I conclude that it would be entirely possible to make a magnet that floats if shit was made of metal.
And that's science. Fact.
Solved.
Sorted.
All right, I think they still slide, but Josh, I'm now going to say magboard like four different times with four different tones, and you can just splice that in every time we said hoverboard.
What if someone else is saying it?
James said
do it anyway.
We just put it in Nick's voice.
Yeah. The magic of editing.
Anyway, I think we need another scene, and I've got a question ready.
Exciting.
Outrageous.
Sweet.
Nice.
Let's crack on then.
Yeah, so my question for the assembled masses, or some subset of them, is what effect did the changes have on ordinary people's lives? But I'm leaving it to you to define which changes are most relevant here. Now then, who should be in this scene? That bit I didn't think too hard about. Remind me, we've got a sidekick, we've got artist, we've got zealot, and we've got hack. So I definitely want artist and hack. I'm tempted to include sidekick because everybody said that we have to include sidekick in every scene, but I feel like that's actually maybe a bit mean.
You may also choose yourself if you want, Josh.
I know that I may, but I think it would be a bit cheesy for me to do that when nobody else has. Now James is probably going to do it in his scene and then I'll regret not doing it, but anyway, I think let's do a two-person scene. We haven't had too many of them. Let's have artist and hack.
Okay, right, let's have a think about how we're going to frame this. This is what life is like for ordinary people. Yes.
What were the effects of the changes on ordinary people's lives?
So if we're ordinary people, and we don't have to be, I guess, but maybe we're having, I could imagine a scene where we're having a moan about, or a disagreement about some of these changes. You know, you meet down the pub, you complain about the checkpoint kind of thing.
Yeah, okay, that works. I think for the purposes of this, I'm going to be a different character. I have to give them a name and a thing, don't I? So I will go with Matilda, and she's an art teacher at the school.
How did you do that so quickly, Becky?
It didn't feel very quick. It felt very slow in my brain.
Okay, so I'm going to be Finley. Or Finlay. And I'm going to be, you're an art teacher. What sort of art?
What sort of art do I teach?
Yeah.
Well, I'm teaching children, and I don't think they're particularly old children, really. So okay. It'll be more introducing them to the materials and how they use them. So I'd be teaching them, okay, so this is how you use a watercolour, and this is how it's different from an oil pastel.
Oh, so you're not collecting up brightly coloured sweet wrappers and other such materials from the parents to collage together, which is...
Oh, maybe I do that too.
Sticking googly eyes on forks.
Sticking googly eyes on things. maybe I have to teach the kids how we make our own pigments. Because there can't be like a... You know, this is a generation ship, isn't it? So it's not going to be like kind of endless amounts of watercolours that one can pop into the local shop and buy. So maybe this is more of an advanced art class for kids who are making art materials from what's on the ship. So maybe there's like, I don't know, like the black goop that comes out of the star drive or whatever it is. Once the radiation has subsided, which has a half-life of X days or whatever, then it makes a really good indigo for colour.
Cool. In that case, I think Finley works. Finley writes for a like an underground newspaper, and knows Matilda because, you know, that's printing in the hand printing in the back corner of whatever room I live in, for which I need pigments, and so end up scrounging in the same sorts of places. So I guess the very fact that this is not a digital production pretty strongly suggests it's a underground one.
My gosh, have you reinvented zines?
I was thinking more of those ransom notes.
Yes. So if we're meeting up for a drink or something, where do people drink on the generation ship?
I think there's several places. I think that there is like a 10 forward style bar, which we do not go to, which is, you know, very nice and airy and has lots of lovely views out over the starscapes. I think that we are far more likely to visit the sort of bar that you see in the later series of Battlestar Galactica, which looks like it's almost butted up against the engine itself and it's very grimy and there's no windows and that sort of place. But there is a version of, it is 10 forward, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is a 10 forward that exists, but we don't go.
Yeah, I kind of feel like at some point we're going to get cut off from the 10 forward entirely, right? Because we lose views from outside. Cool. I love the idea of a primary school art teacher at the scuzzy, possibly illegal dive bar.
I think it is butted up against the back of the engine because that's one of the warmest places on the ship.
Cool.
There's like ambient radiation or something.
That's got to be fine.
It's fine.
All right. Cool. And our question was specifically, what effect did the changes have on ordinary people's lives? Okay.
Okay. Hey, Finley, come and join me.
Oh, Matilda, I didn't see you over there. It's darker than usual. Am I imagining that?
Yeah, I think it is darker than usual. What are you having?
Does it have a name?
Probably not. Probably not. Probably some sort of fermented algae. Dilute algae.
Delicious as always. Exactly what I need.
I haven't seen you around for a while either. What's been going on?
Well, no. I guess I've been feeling the push a little, you know? This thing that I do doesn't seem like a particularly good time to be doing it. So, I don't know. Maybe I've been a bit nervous.
I guess it doesn't feel like a very safe time to be doing it, but probably is a good time to be doing it for other people, just not you.
I mean, I guess I hope so, but it's hard to tell if it's worth it, you know?
I don't know. Two copies of it got confiscated by the principal at the school yesterday. So
what, the kids? The kids?
Well, they're the same as everybody else. They need information. They need to know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. I kind of like to imagine that they just wouldn't have to think about this stuff.
Well, they think about it more than we do, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, I'm thinking back, I guess. I mean, I guess that makes sense. How are your lot doing?
Yeah, they're okay. It's getting harder to get some of our materials.
Yeah, I hear that.
There's some more restrictions now on getting down to the lower levels. The lower levels, if you know what I mean.
I do.
I don't really understand why, but
listen, I mean, on that, you know, it's probably a little easier for me. If there's anything like you're running really short on, just let me know and I'll see what I can do.
Oh, that's fine. That's really kind of you. Look, there are a few things we're running short on, but I can probably make the stuff more easily than you can once I've got the materials. So if you give it to me, then I can make for both of us. I can get the kids doing it. I won't tell them.
It's a, you know, it's an appealing image. I just no risks, all right?
Same for you. Last time I went down to the lower levels, the amount of passes and that I had to fill out and checks that I had to go through, and I was just like, all I want to do is just scrape the inside of the... Nah, never mind.
Yeah, so on, I've been thinking about that, actually, because, yeah, for sure, same, you know, passes and paperwork and forms and checkpoints and all that garbage. But is it just me or are there less of those up here? Well, not up here. I mean, out there where it's bright. I mean, less of those, more cameras, you know?
Yeah, I mean... There isn't much in the school, that's in the upper levels, but I suppose, you know what, I guess I've just assumed that they didn't want to surveil the kids that much, but that wouldn't make any sense, would it?
Well, you hear things about the sliders, right?
Yeah. Some of the things they're asking us to report on now, you know, what the kids are saying, watching, thinking, reading, it's not making me comfortable. I don't fill in half of it. I don't even fill in most of it.
They're not looking at what the art the kids are making, are they?
I think they're trying to spot potential sliders before they go over.
I mean, it's, well, yeah. Are you seeing a shift in the stuff the kids are making? Like, I don't know. I've just got this idea in my head that when you go to a head doctor or something, they get you to draw pictures.
Oh, I see what you mean. So I think some of the bolder ones talk about making their own zine.
I'm not sure I can recommend it. It doesn't pay well.
I'm going to cut the action here because I'm going to suggest that this bar is raided to show how life is for ordinary people. I think that a bunch of people wearing riot gear, dark navy uniforms and riot gear with darkened face shields, just storm in and start checking everybody's IDs, shutting the bar down, making everybody line up and all that sort of thing.
Do you want to make this enough of a focus that it's worth James being the zealot for it?
Do you want to come in and stomp around for a bit, James?
Sure, yeah. They stomp in and, yeah, a lady with a severe haircut at the front is like, everyone put their hands on their heads. We have reports of subversive literature being distributed and possibly slider gatherings.
I think Finley probably swears kind of under his breath. And as he starts to stand up, he says, Matilda, have you got what you need? You got your papers with you, right?
Yeah, you don't have any materials with you, though, do you?
And I think you can see it. That look on Finley's face as he inventories his pockets and realizes that maybe he does.
Oh, Finn.
Notes he's been taking or something like that he shoved in a pocket and didn't even think about because it's just the bar, right?
On the other side of the bar, somebody who you recognize as being slider affiliated makes a run for it for the back exit, but one of the goons whips out an electric shock baton, sets it crackling and catches them in the back of the neck, and they slump to the ground, smashing through a table with a sickening crack.
Which pocket?
Jacket inside left, and the jacket is hung over the seat that he was sitting on.
Okay, so what Matilda will do is that when she gets up to go and put her hands away, she will make sure that she knocks over a large pint of fermented algae juice all over that side of your the inside of your jacket.
There's probably a moment of kind of stunned silence from Finley before he cottons on.
Oh God, I'm so sorry, Finn.
Oh geez. Oh,
I know that's your favourite jacket.
He gets down to pick up the jacket and, I don't know, rubs it in a bit more of the muck and just tries to make it that little bit worse.
Okay, says the woman in charge. Hands where we can see them. Stop all that.
Hands up.
Sorry.
Now empty your pockets. On the table, slowly.
What do we see in their pockets?
I don't think Matilda's got a lot in her pockets. In her pocketses, I think she has some cash. I think she has a spare hair bobble in case she loses the other one. You know, you always need a spare hair bobble. And probably her ID papers. And I don't know, like, presumably there's some sort of key card or something for your apartment security. But I think that she has taken to showing how life is for ordinary people. She has taken to not leaving her apartment with much on her.
I reckon probably Finn's learnt the same lesson, except for that offending bit of paper, except he's got a stub of a charcoal or something, some kind of homemade pencil or something that's in a pocket that he's been using to take notes that he just tries to casually toss on the table along with his papers and some change. And I feel like he's got a folded up bit of paper that has a like music on it, musical notes, like a song sheet that's much folded and creased and all the rest of it. And he just tosses that all on the table.
Okay, so anything incriminating has been rendered illegible by the fermented algae.
He's not even trying to get it out of his pocket. The jacket, I'm assuming, is on the floor in a puddle of disgusting stuff. Delicious, disgusting stuff.
Okay. Yeah, from across the bar, you know, somebody's obviously turned out some kind of storage media, you know, little storage crystals as we use in the future. And that's been rapid scanned by one of the goons, and they yell out, "We got us some illegal slider holovids here. It's time for a beating." And all the goons, you know, get much more cheery. So as that grimly unfolds at the back of the bar, the lady in charge picks up gingerly the piece of sheet music as if it was like a piece of used toilet paper and says, "Explain this, citizen."
It's just a song. I mean, I can sing it for you if you want.
She, you know, looks over at the unfolding beating and smiles a very chilly smile and says, "Why not?"
Oh, this is a grim image of...
Have I gone too dystopian too fast?
No, not at all. But there's something about that. I can kind of picture how this scene would be shot with Finley, who probably can't sing very well, singing something kind of folky and maybe a little bit sad while a beating goes on in the background.
Oh, no.
I don't have a specific song in mind.
Yeah, sorry, it was a bit cruel of me to say. Yes, improvise a song.
Sing now. No, but I'm picturing, but I'm imagining it was written by somebody who was dear to him, who is no longer around. So it's not known. Like, it's not a folk song, a popular folk song or anything like that.
Okay, with a freezing grin, the woman applauds, and the other goons sort of, you know, ironic clap as well. And then she flicks the piece of sheet music into the puddle of sludge on the floor and sort of looks to her shock baton as if she's contemplating giving you a wallop for good measure, but then shrugs and moves on down the line.
And Finley feels like absolute shit for letting this just happen, I think. I don't know that he says anything. I don't think he's brave enough to say anything.
I think Matilda will whisper, "You owe me a pint."
Maybe slightly despite himself, Finley snorts a little chuckle.
Maybe we've answered the question and we can end the scene, unless anybody wants to sort of do anything to wrap up.
No, I'm good.
Nice entry, James.
Yeah, very nicely done.
I think the difficulty is it's tricky to go like mildly dystopian. It's just a lot more tempting to go cartoonishly dystopian.
I think as well, because the situation in the world at the moment, any dystopian just feels a little rawer than it might otherwise do.
Hmm.
Great scene.
Yeah. Mm.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Nick and James.
Likewise, Becky and James.
Super fun.
Yes. Super fun.
Super fun.
Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Rise and Fall by Elizabeth Lovegrove, which is part of the Seven Wonders anthology. You can find out more about Seven Wonders on pelgrainpress.com. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast and join us on Twitter, where we are BArmadaTales. If you're struggling to find a pen to write all that down, you can find that information and more in the show notes. See you next time. So I need to update Black Armada Tastes with the squash conversation, which some of you might know about because of Twitter, and at least one of you doesn't because of not being on Twitter. So I noticed in the top topics of the day, you know, alongside whatever latest news from Ukraine, political corruption, what is the correct word for this? And it has a picture of like a Robinson's orange. I can't say what it is without using the word, obviously. And I already have, so fuck it. The orange squash. And there's this debate raging across Twitter in the way that it sometimes does between different people, essentially people who have different words for the same thing, right? Regional words for the same thing, but who, because seemingly they're unaware of the concept of regional variations, they're all like at each other's throats because they're like, no, you cannot, you know, this is madness, you mustn't use. But on this occasion, they may have a point. And the reason is that apparently squash is basically a word used for our non-English listeners. Squash is basically like concentrated orange and sugar, which you then dilute to make a sweet orange drink.
I mean, right? You're lucky if it's got any real orange in it half the time.
I'm hoping you're leading me towards the revelation that either A, Americans don't have squash, or B, they call it something horrendous.
But before we get there, though, must it be orange?
No.
No.
Okay.
So you have lemon squash, classically.
Okay. Summer fruits.
Now,
blackcurrant.
Is it blackcurrant squash? I think so.
Yes.
You know, one would tend to refer to that as Ribena.
Only if it's Ribena.
If it wasn't from Ribena, then is that blackcurrant squash? I would probably tend to refer to it as supermarket-owned brand Ribena.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, you should get onto Twitter and get involved in this conversation.
I'm not sure I ever have done that, but if it came to the crunch.
No, it's blackcurrant squash. Ribena is only for Ribena. It's like, that'd be like calling Vegemite Marmite. It's just like, no, you can't do that. You can't.
We will not have it.
I'd be wrong.
They are completely different things, and they taste totally different.
Anyway, some parts of the country, and I couldn't quite work out whether it was Scotland or Newcastle or both, probably both, call it either diluting juice, okay?
Wow.
So I think in Scotland, basically anything that either is made from fruit or kind of is a fake version of something like pop, you know, fizzy pop, Coca-Cola, anything like that, is juice.
I thought Coca-Cola was all called ginger.
Oh, they also call it, I think that might be Glasgow.
Oh, right.
But anyway, we mustn't get into that because we'll start talking complete nonsense about stuff we don't know anything about. But they call everything juice, but there are different types of juice, and this is diluting juice. I think I'm right in saying that if you're in Newcastle, it's diluted juice. Which is just the best.
That is really cool.
Diluting juice.
It sounds like something from a bad science fiction novel.
It does. And naturally, there were loads of people kind of going, how can you call it juice? People are going to think it's real juice. You know, they get really angry about it.
So, what was your finger in the air for, Nick?
Yeah.
What revelation have you got for us?
It was
specifically the orange question.
This is
not called squash, I don't think, in Australia. I'm very wary of speaking for an entire nation. But
do it, man. Do it.
Nor is it called diluting juice.
What is it called?
Cordial.
Oh, well, cordial is what you call posh squash. It's like squash that costs over £3 a bottle.
I mean, I think to be cordial, it has to be more concentrated than squash, I would say, typically, right?
That was the consensus on Twitter.
That's like a syrup, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more syrupy. It's also a lot more expensive and usually has kind of flora and fauna on the bottle.
So I did get some people to comment on this on Twitter, and at the risk of essentially just reading out my Twitter feed.
I have more questions, though.
Hmm.
Okay.
Does squash mean anything else? Squash means something. I would use squash to mean something else in Australia.
It means good, and it's a...
And it's a sport.
It's a sport.
Oh, yes.
Also, when I was at Cambridge, I don't know if this is just a Cambridge thing, it was used to mean an introductory event held by a student society to recruit new members at the beginning of the year.
Definitely a Cambridge thing.
A squash. Did you squash people? Who was being squashed?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure if the idea was that, you know, I mean, I would imagine that other universities also have things where, you know, they've got their own jargon and the etymology is completely lost to the mists of time.
Yes, we called them freshers' events.
Yeah, we should have called them that,
but we
didn't.
No, but
it's a squash. It's a noun, though, right?
A squash. Not to squash.
You're going to the squash.
Yes.
You're not coming squash with us or something.
Squashing.
Squashing.
Squash specifically means to me a fizzy drink, specifically of the orange and or lemon variety. So you would buy a can of lemon squash.
Or like Orangina.
Yeah.
Or Fanta or Tango. For balance, I must mention three different brands.
I don't think you would call Fanta orange squash. Maybe you would call it orange squash. You would call knockoff Fanta possibly orange squash or knockoff Fanta.
What's the difference? Is it just like a Ribena versus blackcurrant
squash? I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because if you went to a pub in Australia and said, can I have a lemon squash? They would give you a lemon fizzy drink that is not lemonade. You know, like a you know how lemonade just tastes like sugar?
You mean lemonade like a cloudy lemonade?
More like a proper lemonade,
like a proper lemonade. You would call a lemon squash. If you went to the pub and said, can I have a lemon squash? That's what you get.
But it would be fizzy.
Fizzy, definitely fizzy.
Okay, definitely not fizzy here.
No, I mean, theoretically, you could add fizzy water to squash.
Yes. And I think we talked about this, didn't we, that somebody on here was mooting the idea of hot fizzy Vimto, which is...
No, I was just being facetious and making a joke when Sue was like, I'll bring some Vimto. And I was like, piping hot carbonated Vimto, yum.
I think hot squash is quite nice. And I think fizzy squash is quite nice, to clarify.
I mean, you can heat Ribena, that would be fine. But to heat orange squash, that would be pretending it was Ribena.
I think the idea of a heated orange squash feels a bit too close to a lemon sip for me.
Ooh, delicious.
Oh, wait, you're winning me round to the idea of orange squash now.
So... But just for clarity, Nick, the squashes that you're referring to, they are not made up of a syrupy thing plus some fizzy thing.
I mean, obviously they might be in the factory.
Yeah,
or right. Or the pub.
Ah, yeah, but is it happening in...
You know, the pubs do have those squirty things?
Yeah.
Rather than giving you a can of something or a bottle of something.
Oh, I see. So what's not happening in a pub is that they're taking a bottle of concentrated syrup, pouring a finger of it into a pint glass and then topping it up with soda water. Because that is what you get. That's what I used to order.
You said fizzy squash.
Yeah, that's what I used to order in pubs because I'm allergic to alcohol.
And you would call that fizzy squash?
I'd just call that. Well, no, I'd call that. I'd say... Can I have lime cordial with topped up with soda water, please?
Okay. You wouldn't say, could I have a fizzy diluting juice?
Well, maybe you would in Scotland. Yeah. Or I should go back to Twitter and ask. That's bound to go down well.
So what is it when you have, like, blackcurrant in your alcohol? Because that's why they have the cordials, isn't it? The reason they have a blackcurrant cordial behind the counter on the pub is because they tip it into a...
I would call that a syrup, not a cordial.
But it's like knockoff Ribena.
That kind of, you buy cordial from a supermarket and then dilute it with water. That's cordial, which sounds like squash.
And I think that, to be fair, I bet you there are people who call it squash cordial in Britain, although it seems like squash has pretty much penetrated most of England and diluting juice is obviously the lingua franca in Scotland.
I mean, I made a cocktail about 30 minutes ago, and I added to that passion fruit syrup,
ooh,
which I would not dilute with water and drink.
Well, maybe you should.
Maybe I should. Let's see what happens next week.
I certainly went through a phase of diluting pomegranate molasses with fizzy water and necking that.
It's
delicious.
Cocktail syrups are designed not to dissolve, though, right? They kind of drizzle through your drink.
Is that true?
I mean, I assume so. Grenadine's an example, right? They'll make you some sort of cocktail which is otherwise mixed, and then the grenadine goes in and it kind of remain somewhat separate. Am I getting this right? Am I talking? Becky, but
can you do
Becky
that
doesn't know what I'm talking about. She doesn't even drink alcohol.
Could you do no, that with a syrup? Just any syrup, though. Surely it's just got to do with...
You just like some golden syrup.
What about coffee syrups?
Yeah, I feel like the more tropical cocktails will have more, you know, they'll make the most of the different colours of syrups and things like that. But you can have other, you know, you can have like ginger syrup and stuff like that, which probably wouldn't be that dramatic looking, but you'd still use it in cocktails and things.
But that's not the same as like a lemon barley water squash, is it?
If you just add lemon barley water to your cocktail, people are going to look at you funny.
Right, Nick, listen up. I've got some important homework for you to do before the next session. In your next shop, you need to do two things. You need to buy a bottle of a supermarket own brand squash. Cheaper the better. You don't have to go right to the value range, but like, it should not have anything remotely like finest or taste the difference or anything like that on it. Just like the sort of stuff that you would put into lots and lots of tiny little cups and lay them out on the church table for some sort of children's do. That sort of thing.
How is Nick going to know whether that's what he would do? But anyway.
Also, okay. Also, is this experiment possible at Waitrose?
Oh.
Just go down to the corner shop.
Go to the corner shop, yeah. You'll be able to get something at the corner shop.
And you must give blood?
Yeah, go and give blood and then you'll get loads of it for free.
Probably couldn't leg it though with give blood squash though, like a bottle of. That would be a bit.
That'd be rude. But the other.
They let you take as many biscuits as you fancy, so, you know.
Just do ask. They don't just
have like
say,
a 2 biscuit limit?
Come to the door and say, I will give blood, but it is on condition that you're going to give me one of your bottles of diluting juice.
Sorry, I interrupted the experiment. I've got to go and get the cheap cordial squash.
Squash, and then you need to buy a bottle of cordial because they will have both.
Yep. I've got some lime cordial downstairs for cocktails, which is different to the syrup.
Is it like Rosie's or whatever it is? Or I can't remember the name of the fancy one. And I think there's a qualitative difference between the squash that you would have when you go to give blood, diluted, and a cordial. I think cordials are stronger and sweeter and they usually have posher flavours and they cost a lot more.
I think this is only going to work if you choose blackcurrant, because I think what you just said about the posher flavours is exactly right. You cannot get like an orange cordial. I don't think. I don't know.
Can
maybe
you get a lime squash?
No.
So I think blackcurrant's at the Venn diagram intersection between posh cordial flavours and cheap squash flavours.
But you mustn't buy Ribena, because Ribena sort of sits slightly between the intersection there. It's like, it is slightly nicer and thicker than normal squash, but it isn't quite a cordial yet.
You could do all three.
Or all three.
And then, blind taste test.
Have you ever had the Middle Eastern Vimto?
No.
They have a separate Vimto.
I have a separate Vimto.
Yeah, it's super popular. It's like a Ramadan staple, and they double concentrate it. And I think it's got date paste in it as well. It's a slightly different flavour. Oh, it's so fucking syrupy and delicious. It's great. Love it when they have it in the shop down the road.
Why is it a Ramadan staple?
It got sort of picked up in the sort of middle of the 20th century, and because it's so sugary and tasty, it's just a really good kind of energy boosting thing when you break your fast. It's like become
post Ramadan, or
yeah, once the sun goes down and you can eat and drink for the day, it's like it's become like a really traditional drink to have.
I love that.
in the house. Yeah,
do you think really cool. Scottish Muslims call it diluting juice though?
I really couldn't comment on that.
I feel like we need to find that out.
It sounds really sort of clinical. Like that's kind of
diluting juice, yeah.
But
yeah.
Diluting so
it's like,
juice,
like surgical spirit, isn't it? Diluted juice it just sounds like a child has had too much of it and gotten excited and started making up interesting names for it.